بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال الملك ائتوني به أستخلصه لنفسي. فلما كلمه قال إنك اليوم لدينا مكين أمين. قال اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم. وكذلك مكنا ليوسف في الأرض يتبوأ منها حيث يشاء نصيب برحمتنا من نشاء ولا نضيع أجر المحسنين. ولأجر الآخرة خير للذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. وجاء إخوة يوسف فدخلوا عليه فعرفهم وهم له منكرون. ولما جهزهم بجهازهم قال ائتوني بأخ لكم من أبيكم ألا ترون أني أوفي الكيل وأنا خير المنزلين. فإن لم تأتوني به فلا كيل لكم عندي ولا تقربون. قالوا سنراود عنه أباه وإنا لفاعلون. وقال لفتيانه اجعلوا بضاعتهم في رحالهم لعلهم يعرفونها إذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم لعلهم يرجعون. فلما رجعوا إلى أبيهم قالوا يا أبانا منع منا الكيل فأرسل معنا أخانا نكتل وإنا له لحافظون. قال هل آمنكم عليه إلا كما أمنتكم على أخيه من قبل فالله خير حافظا وهو أرحم الراحمين. ولما فتحوا متاعهم وجدوا بضاعتهم ردت إليهم قالوا يا أبانا ما نبغي هذه بضاعتنا ردت إلينا ونمير أهلنا ونحفظ أخانا ونزداد كيل بعير ذلك كيل يسير. قال لن أرسله معكم حتى تؤتوني موثقا من الله لتأتنني به إلا أن يحاط بكم. فلما آتوه موثقهم قال الله على ما نقول وكيل. وقال يا بني لا تدخلوا من باب واحد وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة وما أغني عنكم من الله من شيء إن الحكم إلا لله عليه توكلت وعليه فليتوكل المتوكلون ولما دخلوا من حيث أمرهم أبوهم ما كان يغني عنهم من الله ما كان يغني عنهم من الله من شيء إلا حاجة في نفس يعقوب قضاها وإنه لذو علم لما علمناه وإنه لذو علم لما علمناه ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون.
Now after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paved the way for Yusuf alayhi salam to make his ilm and his status known amongst the community and amongst the kingdom and the king and his ministers, the king says, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ. The king says, bring him to me. أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي. I will choose him and I will prefer him for myself. In other words, I will not allow any other person to have him. And this shows you Yusuf's patience paid off. The fruits of Yusuf's patience. The king says, I'm not going to let any other minister take advantage of him. I will take advantage of him. I will take him under my personal care. No one will be between me and him. I will assign him everything he wants, and he will be reporting to me. أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي. I will choose him for myself. Because Yusuf's patience and Yusuf's ikhlas and Yusuf's integrity were proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. And this shows you the fruits of being patient. That Yusuf alayhi salam did not respond to the call of the crier immediately, rather he waited until his name was cleared up. So the king says, bring him to me, I will prefer him and I will choose him for myself. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ. After he spoke with him and he saw for himself the intelligence of Yusuf, the honesty of Yusuf, the maturity of Yusuf, the integrity of Yusuf. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ قَالَ إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ. He said, as for today, then you are indeed مَكِين أَمِينٌ. You are now in a position of honest, trustworthiness and honesty in our eyes, and we will give you whatever position you want. You have a position of power and honor in my eyes. Whatever you want, you will have it with me, because I know you to be powerful, I know you to be capable, I know you to be trustworthy and honest. So Yusuf alayhi salam says, قَالَ اجْعَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. The king says, tells him that you occupy a high status in my eyes, I trust you, whatever you want, I will give it to you. So he says, قَالَ اجْعَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. He said, put me in charge of the storehouses of the land, which was the position of the Aziz that brought him up before. So the same post that Yusuf's master and owner occupied, now Yusuf would occupy. قَالَ اجْعَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. He said, make me in charge of the storehouses of the land. إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. I am حَفِيظٌ, which means that I will protect everything. Nothing will be lost while I am trustworthy. Nothing will be lost while I am in charge of these affairs. While I am in charge of the storehouses of the country. And I am عَلِيمٌ. In other words, I know what to do. I know how to manage the storehouses of the country. So he is hafiz in that nothing will be lost while he is in charge. He will protect everything. And he is alim in that he knows what to do. He knows how to protect the grain and the fruit and how to make sure that no one goes hungry. And this shows you that it is allowed when in these type of situations for a general benefit, it is allowed to inform other people about one's qualifications. Okay? Because Yusuf knew that he was the most capable person for the job. Therefore, he put himself forward and he asked to be given that position or post. However, the general rule, this is the exception, the general rule, as the Prophet ﷺ said, is that we do not give positions to those who desire it. If you wish to be the leader, you wish to be this, in general, such a person will not be given the position. However, in exceptional situations, such as the case of Yusuf, when a person is not scared of shirk, minor shirk, when a person is not scared that he wants something for the sake of the dunya, when he is confident that he is the most qualified person for the job, and no one else is qualified. And of course, in this situation, everyone else is a kafir. Everyone else is a mushrik. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he knows that he will be the most trustworthy and the most honest. He will fear Allah with regards to every single grain. He will know what to do with it. He will make sure that everyone in the land has enough food to eat. So he puts himself forward in this position. But like I said, the general rule is that it is not preferred, it is not encouraged, it is not even allowed for a person to stand up for a post and say, vote for me or give me the position, give me the power I wanted. In general, this is not allowed and has been prohibited in the hadith. It also shows you, one of the benefits here, is that it is imperative that a person, when he does a certain job, he have the proper qualifications for that job. Because Yusuf mentions two qualities, which are imperative for a person to have in order to take over the position that he wants. The hafidh and the alim. Because in that status and position, you're going to have a lot of money under you. You're going to have a lot of property, a lot of grain under your control. So Yusuf says, I am hafidh. I will protect it. I'm not going to waste anything. I'm honest and trustworthy in this regard. And also, when you have so much responsibility on your shoulders, you have to know when to give the food, how to give the food, how to distribute it. So he says, I'm alim. I'm knowledgeable of this as well. So in order for you to do a job, it is a part of your amana, a part of a trust that you are qualified to do that job. Or else you should not apply for it, or you should not get into that position. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ, and this is how we establish Yusuf in the land. He would go wherever he wished in it. So you can imagine now that Yusuf is now a minister in the land. So he can go with his whole entourage, with his whole wealth and property, and whatever possessions he has, he can go with no fear. Whereas only yesterday he was in the prison, could not go anywhere. And before that he was a slave, could not do anything. And before that he was trapped in the well, could not even physically move. So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala slowly but surely saved him time after time again and moved him up to better and better positions, even though while he was in that position, for example, the position of a slave, you might not be able to see the benefits. Likewise, you're in prison, you might not be able to see the benefits. What will happen to Yusuf? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is how we establish Yusuf in the land. Going through these different stages, each time there were troubles and hardships, but now, because of his patience, because of his iman, because of his ikhlas, because of his tawakkul, because of his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah chooses him, saves him, and establishes him in the land. مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He could go wherever he wished in the entire country. It was now as if it's his country. And this position at this time would be the most powerful position in the country. Perhaps in some ways even more powerful than the king, because the country is about to face a drought. And Yusuf has power over the food. It is Yusuf who decides who gets food, when he gets it, how much he gets. So in this sense, Yusuf is the most powerful person in the country because he is the minister in charge of the affairs of the grains and the storehouses. So he would go wherever he wished. نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَن نَشَاءُ. We give or confer our mercy upon whomever we will. وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And we do not cause to waste the reward of those who practice ihsan. Remember I told you yesterday, remember this concept of ihsan and being muhsin. Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it. Yusuf used to worship Allah as if he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even if he did not see him, verily Allah saw Yusuf. So Allah says that this is how we reward those who have ihsan. This is how we reward those who do. All of this was achieved because of his ihsan. And Allah reminds us, وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٍ. The lam here is for emphasis. And it's like, wallahi, by Allah, indeed, the ajr of the akhirah, the reward of the akhirah is better. So even though Yusuf has been given so much, let us not forget that there is a greater reward in store for him and also for those who practice ihsan. So the muhsin will get his reward in this dunya, but let him not forget that the akhirah is indeed a greater reward and a greater blessing. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. For those who have iman, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And they had the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no matter how much benefits and blessings a person might get in this life, never lose track of the real goal. Never lose track of the actual benefits and the blessings of Allah, which is the ajr of the akhirah, the rewards of the akhirah. Now that Yusuf has been established in the land, and now that he has achieved this ministerial position, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفُ. The brothers of Yusuf came. Just by this phrase here, again, so much information is given. Automatically we can understand that the years of drought have come. He has been in his position 7 years now, of the time when there would be no drought, there would be plenty of food. And now the time of drought has started. And then the drought has become so severe that it's reached from Egypt, it's moved its way down to Palestine. So the surrounding countries are also affected by this drought. And another benefit, without even mentioning anything, this is the beauty of the Quran. Another benefit is that Yusuf became so famous and so well known that this is the country you go to if you want food, that other people would send their caravans into this country. And on top of that, the justness and the perfection of Yusuf's rule is that he had so much food for his countrymen, he could actually engage in buying and selling to other countries as well. So perfect was he and so qualified was he for the job that it was surplus for Egypt. It was enough for Egypt. So external caravans would come and get food from Yusuf. All of this without mentioning anything except the phrase, and the Yusuf brothers came. This is the beauty of the Quran. So much information is given, and so much information is given without directly being mentioned in the text. The fact that Yusuf's brothers came, once again, it shows that the drought had affected other areas. It's a very severe drought, and the people are coming to Egypt. Yusuf has become famous, even though not by his name, perhaps by his title, Al-Aziz, which the brothers will address him by. So the Aziz had become famous because of his justice, because of his equality, because of his care, because of his qualifications. And other people are engaging in buying and selling food from Yusuf so that they can get food for their families. So, the brothers of Yusuf came. فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ They entered upon Yusuf. فَعَرَفَهُمْ Yusuf recognized them. وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ And they, to Yusuf, they were not recognizable. They did not recognize Yusuf. Yusuf was not recognizable for them. Okay? So, here they enter in upon Yusuf. Obviously, Yusuf will recognize them immediately because they're wearing the same color clothes, the same dresses that is from their culture, and it's all of his 10 brothers. Benjamin was not here. The 10 brothers, all of them were present here. There's no way that Yusuf will not recognize them because everything is the same about them and they're all in this quantity. As for the brothers of Yusuf, again, there's no way they could recognize Yusuf. Yusuf has been away from them for at least 20 years, if not more. How is this? If you say, yani, minimum that he was around 6, 7 years old when he got sold into slavery, give him another 7, 8, 9 years to go into puberty and the incident of the wife of Aziz, and then at least 7 years in prison. So that makes around 21 right now as it is. And then add another 7, which is the years of grain, the years of harvest. That gives you up to 30. So looking at it from a very cautious perspective, at least 30 years, if not 40, 50, have gone by since they tried to kill Yusuf or dispose of him in the well. Okay, so it's obvious they enter in a strange country. The last thing on their minds is trying to look for Yusuf. The last thing on their mind is the image of Yusuf. And don't forget, Yusuf has left them as a young child, 7 years old. And now they're entering in upon a full bearded man, 30, 40 year old man, at least, if not more. And he is the minister of Egypt, and he must be wearing the clothes of that country, and whatever, he must be looking different, as it is. So there's no way they could recognize Yusuf alayhi salam. And then the ulama say that Yusuf, the tafsir, the scholars of tafsir, they say that Yusuf talked with them, and he tried to extract information from them. How come you are so great a number 10? So they said, we have a father who is a prophet, and he lives in Palestine. So he tried to intimidate them because he wanted to get them to bring his brother. So he said, no, rather you must be spies. They said, no, we really are a group of 10 brothers. We used to be 12. One of them is still with our father, and one of them got lost in the wilderness. Okay. So Yusuf then says, if you're really truthful, right? He says, if you're really truthful, وَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَزِهِمْ when he had done the transaction with them, قَالَ أَتُونِي بِأَخِلْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ bring me this brother that you're claiming exists. If you are telling me the truth, bring me this brother that you claim exists that is still with your father. Then I will believe you. قَالَ أَتُونِي بِأَخِلْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ and then he encouraged them, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنِّي أُوفِ الْكَيْلِ do you not see that I was just in giving the measurements? وَأَنَا خَيْرُ الْمُنْزِلِينَ and I was a great host to you as well. You came and I was hospitable to you. I let you stay in such and such a place and gave you such and such a food. What do you have to worry about for me? So he entices them. And then he warns them, فَإِلَّمْ تَأْتُونِي بِهِ But if you don't bring this brother of yours, فَلَا كَيْلَ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي Then there will be no measurement between me and you. وَلَا تَقَرَبُونَ And you will not be able to come close to me. So he entices them by telling them the rewards, and he also warns them if they do not bring their brother back to them. Here we find that Yusuf alayhi salam, he was well known for his hospitality and he was well known for his justness and equality. Therefore, he can mention this, "Ana awfil kayl," that I am just in my measurement and kayl. So you can imagine that the people from Palestine, their brothers, his brothers, they would have bought the merchandise from Palestine, and they would have said, "We want a certain amount of food for this merchandise, whatever the merchandise was." The ulama differ, and it doesn't really matter whether it was leather or whatever it was. They bought it from Palestine. So Yusuf gave them in full measurement the food that they deserved for that merchandise that they bought. And on top of that, he gave them hospitality and generosity. So this shows you also the importance of hospitality and generosity. And this is something that is narrated in the hadith as well. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him be hospitable to his guests. Then he threatens them. After enticing them, he threatens them, if you don't bring me this brother, then don't expect any more food from me. Because he wants to see Binyamin. his brother of old. He wants to see him now. He must have grown up and become a man. And he has a strong desire to see meet his brother after 30, 40 years. So he says, if you don't bring him, then you will not find any transaction with me, nor will you be able to come close to me. Or then some interpretation is, you will not be able to come close to this country. I will ban the country from you. So either I will ban you from the country, or I will ban you from entering my palace, whatever is the two. Basically, if they did not bring Binyamin, they would not get any more food. So they said, قَالُوا سَنُرَاوِدُ عَنْهُ أَبَاهُ. They said, we will try to coax his father away from him. Again, look, they say his father, and they don't say our father, which يعني, is not very proper, because it is their father as well. But you can see automatically the difference between the brothers of Yusuf and Yusuf alayhi salam. Here they're saying, we'll try to coax him away from his father, وَإِنَّا لَفَاعِلُونَ, and of a surety we will be able to do it. Once again, you see a type of arrogance or cockiness here, that we will of a surety, وَإِنَّا لَفَاعِلُونَ, we will do it. وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَانِهِ, Yusuf said to his servants, اِجْعَلُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ, return their merchandise, the merchandise that they brought from Philistine, into their sacks, their baggages. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا, so that they will recognize it when they return to their families, so that they might come back. What is the trick being done here? Yusuf pretends that there's a whole transaction going on. He takes all of the merchandise from them, and he keeps it, and he gives them all of their food. So they go back thinking that, okay, we've had a complete merchandise now. We've had a transaction. Now, in order to entice them back, and also because he knew the poverty of his own family, and he doesn't want to put them in any hardships as it is, he knows that this must have been very difficult for them to get. So he told his servants to take this merchandise and put it deep inside their baggages. Not in the external parts that they will open on the journey, no. In the baggage that they will open when they get back home. So you can imagine now everyone has, you know, a handbag and a big bag that he will open when he gets there. Likewise, in the old days they would have the big sacks that they would put on the camel. These sacks will not be opened until you get back. So he said, put it inside those sacks, which they will not open until they get back to their households, so that when they see the merchandise, they will know. They will know what? They will know that I am not wanting anything evil from them. I'm trying to be good to them. I want them to come back. They might come back when they know this. So he's enticing them even more to come back. And also because he feels sympathy for his family. This is his own family, the Prophet of Allah, Ya'qub, and his children, and they cannot afford that much. So he is being sympathetic towards them and returning them their merchandise to him. فَلَمَّا رَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِمْ, when they returned to their fathers, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا, they said, our father, مُنِعَ مِنَّ الْكَيْلِ, the transaction or the kail has been stopped. They're putting it as if it's in the present tense, to be more dramatic. We have been prevented from any type of further transactions, even though they had already had a transaction. They could have said, well, we've come back with a full load, and we're not allowed to go back anymore. But they're trying to be a little bit dramatic here. We have been prevented from any type of transaction. فَأَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا أَخَانَا, therefore send with us our brother, نَكْتَلْ, we will be able to transact after that. So they must have told him of the minister of Egypt, that he is refusing to let us have any transactions with him, unless and until we prove to him we are truthful by bringing our brother Binyamin. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, we will of a surety protect him. The exact same words that they used for Yusuf back in the past. Okay, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. So what do you think the father will say when they're asking to take away his other best son after Yusuf? Of course he said, قَالَ هَلْ آمَنُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ, he said, should I trust you with him? إِلَّا كَمَا أَمِنْتُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ, just like I trusted you with his brother before him. How can I trust you with him? You have proven to me your reputation. How can I trust you with the brother of the one that you already made disappear? So he's reminding them of the crime that they did, even though Ya'qub does not know the crime. But he knows they did something wrong. So he's reminding them of this. Therefore, the benefit of this is that it is allowed to take someone's reputation into account when you yani have a transaction or something with him. Okay, now, subhanAllah, this time they did not want to do any evil. But because of the evil that they had already done in the past, Ya'qub initially prevents them. So it shows you it's allowed to take a person's reputation into account. If you decide something, you want to have a transaction with him, or there's a marriage proposal or something, you look at his past. You look at the reputation that he has established by him for himself, and you can base a verdict on that reputation. No problems there. So he says, I will not. Basically, the question means, how can I send him with you when you already betrayed my trust with Yusuf? So he said, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا, Allah is the best protector. If that's the case, I don't need your food. I don't need you to go back to the king of Egypt, the minister of Egypt, and get me any food. Allah is the best protector. Allah will guard me, and He will guard my son Binyamin, and He will protect us from starvation. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ And He is the most merciful of all those that have mercy. Because of this mercy, He will not let us starve. Because of this mercy, He will not let us be lost like this. Because of this mercy, He will find another way for food to come to us. And because of this mercy, He will return Yusuf to me also here. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاعُهُمْ So they realize they're not going to get anywhere with their father. And this is where the plot of Yusuf comes into play. Look at the foresight of Yusuf. He knows there will be difficulty. After all, he is a part of the family. It is his own father and his own brothers. So he has already planned for this. وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاعُهُمْ So you can imagine, as soon as they came back home, they were for the whole month they must have been talking about how to convince their father to send Binyamin. So as soon as they entered in, they tried to convince him. They were not able to, so they go back dejected and rejected, and so they start unpacking. So Allah says, وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاعَهُمْ When they opened their baggage, وَجَدُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ رُدَّتْ إِلَيْهِمْ They found that their merchandise had been returned to them. And they knew obviously that Yusuf had done this on purpose, or the Aziz, they didn't know it was Yusuf. They knew that he had done this on purpose. And they knew that this was to show them that he did not want any evil from them. He trusted them and he was being kind to them. So they went back to their fathers with this merchandise and they said, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا مَا نَبْغِي They said, our fathers, we don't want anything. يَا أَبَانَا, we don't want anything. مَا نَبْغِي هَذِهِ بِضَاعَتُنَا رُدَّتْ إِلَيْنَا This is our merchandise, returned to us. What could we possibly want from Binyamin? This is the proof that we are truthful to you. So send Binyamin with us. We don't want anything evil. This is our merchandise. The man has returned it to us, showing us how kind and hospitable he is. هَذِهِ بِضَاعَتُنَا رُدَّتْ إِلَيْنَا وَنَمِيرُ أَهْلَنَا And in the process, we will bring food for our families. وَنَحْفَظُ أَخَانَا And we will protect our brother. وَنَزْدَادُ كَيْلَ بَعِيرٍ And we will increase one camel's load of food. ذَلِكَ كَيْلٌ يَسِيرٌ This is a very easy increasement for food. From this we understand that Yusuf a.s. had a very wise way of dealing with the food crisis. For every person that came, no matter how much yani, merchandise he had, he would not accept more than the price of one camel's load of food. He would not give more to a person just because he had more money. For every person that came, he would give him one camel's load of food, which would last a few months. Okay? So they're saying, if we take another person with us, Binyamin, right now we've come back with 10 camels load, and that might last them. You can imagine, the brothers have grown up and they have their children as well and their grandchildren, so there must be a whole tribe there. So these 10 camel loads, they will last a few months, but eventually they will have to go back. So they're saying, if we take Binyamin along with us, we're going to get an extra camel load because we're going to be 11 people. And what an easy way to get an extra whole camel's load of food. ذَلِكَ كَيْلٌ يَسِيرٌ And this shows you the beauty and the wisdom of Yusuf dealing with the crisis here. That he's going to give food according to the number of people. And that's obviously the most just way to do it. The number of people come, that's how much food you're going to get. Okay? So they're saying, let us take Binyamin. We will of a surety protect him. We don't want anything. We're going to bring back food for our families. And in fact, we're going to come back for extra food than this. Once again, this shows you that preparing for future is something that does not go against tawakkul, because here are the children of Ya'qub, and Ya'qub is allowing them to prepare for the future by storing up lots of food and grains. Also, a point of fiqh here, interesting point of fiqh here, some of the ulama, they have an opinion that in order for a transaction to occur, it must be verbalized. In the sense, if you come to a shop, I own a shop and I'm selling this mango juice, for example. You must say, I'm giving you, let's say, 50 pence for this mango juice. I will say, okay, I've accepted and I give it to you. This is one opinion of one madhab. The majority of the ulama, they say that, no. Actions, when explicit, take the place of statements. So if I come in, I drop a 50p on the counter and I pick up the mango juice and the price of this is 50p, it's a valid transaction. So the actions are sufficient. There doesn't have to be verbalization, and this is the correct opinion, and this story proves it. How is this? The merchandise belonged to Yusuf now. He is the one that takes it in. The fact that he returns it to them surreptitiously, secretly, without mentioning anything, it returns to their ownership by an act of Yusuf's. He didn't have to say anything, and the brothers realized this is now in our possession again. Okay, so this is the correct opinion, is that in transactions, when you're having a buying and selling, you don't have to verbalize as long as the action is explicit. Okay, the action is well known and understood by custom and culture. This is what you intend. Now, you don't sneak in a Mars bar into your pocket and walk out slowly. And you know, no, what you do is, with the action that you do, you make sure that it's understood that this is, for example, you clearly drop some money in front of the person and he's looking at you, it's understood, you don't have to verbalize anything. This also shows you that it is allowed to return a gift or a merchandise if you wish, it's up to you. You are now the owner, you have full possession and property, whether it's a gift, whether it's a transaction. Once you own it, you can even return it to the same person that you sold it to. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ himself did with Jabir ibn Abdullah in a very, very beautiful, beautiful hadith, which we don't have the time to get into in much detail, but the summary of it is that Jabir ibn Abdullah was in a very dire need for money, and he did not want to ask anyone for money. And he had a camel which was very old and it was limping along back to Medina. He had just lost his father, Abdullah ibn Haram, one of the greatest, greatest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah spoke directly to Abdullah, the father of Jabir. A great, great honor that was given to him. So his son is going back after he has lost his father from the battle, and he has a very old camel, and he has 7 sisters to take care of, and he doesn't have much money, and he's very, very depressed, obviously, because all of this responsibility is on him now. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he hit the camel, and the camel became very energetic and youthful again, and it became faster than any other camel. Then he told Jabir, sell this camel to me now. Now obviously Jabir needs the camel, so he says, no, I'm not going to sell it to you, because he has 7 sisters and he has a big family to take care of. Rasulullah said, sell it to me. And this shows you, by the way, that even if the Amir asks you to do something and you realize that this is not a command, this was not a religious command, it's a business transaction, in this case the Amir and even the Rasulullah ﷺ becomes like a normal person. Disobedience to him is not like disobedience to the Amir or disobedience to the Prophet ﷺ. Another point of benefit. So Jabir says no. Rasulullah says, kept on saying it. Some ulama say up to 20 times, until finally Jabir caved in and he said Tayyib. So the Prophet ﷺ he said Tayyib, but at least let me ride on it to Medina. I don't want to walk all the way back to Medina. Let me ride on all the way to Medina. When he came back to Medina, Jabir brought the camel, and the Prophet ﷺ gave him the money, and he walked back very rejected and dejected that, you know, he had to give up the camel. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ya Jabir, do you think that we're going to take your camel from you for a small sum? Go back with the money and the camel, for it's yours." Okay. So the Prophet ﷺ did this trick with him in order to give him the money, because he knew Jabir would not accept something like this. So look at the love of the Prophet ﷺ for Jabir ibn Abdullah. And also, the point of the fiqh is that you can return a merchandise to a person if you wish after having the transaction completed, like the Prophet ﷺ did for a very, very, very noble reason, and like Yusuf ﷺ also did for such a noble reason. So now that they've proven their truthfulness to their father, they have shown that they don't want anything. مَا نَبْغِي, we don't need anything. We have no purpose, external, ulterior motive for taking Binyamin with us. Their father then caves in, but with a condition. Because the proof is there, and this is the beauty of Yusuf, he knew how his father obviously is going to think. So the proof is there that they are truthful. So he says, قَالَ لَنْ أُرْسِلَهُ مَعَكُمْ. He says, I will never send him with you, حَتَّى تُؤْتُونِ مَوْثِقًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ, until you give me an oath by Allah. A solemn oath, you swear by Allah. لَتَأْتُنَّنِي بِهِ, of a surety, you will indeed bring him back to me. Once again, emphasis after emphasis, the lam and the noon. لَتَأْتُنَّنِي بِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُحَاطَ بِكُمْ, except if you are surrounded. In other words, except if an enemy comes and overtakes you, or some situation happens where you are physically incapable of defending Binyamin, then I give you an excuse. Okay? So, he said, I'll send you Binyamin upon this condition. And this shows you the importance of an oath and the swearing by Allah. Even though they had gone against his trust in the past with Yusuf, he felt, Ya'qub felt, and this was indeed the case, that they would not go against an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had that much iman, that much taqwa. When they're giving an oath by Allah, the father says, I will let him go with you. And this shows you the importance of swearing only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. To swear by other than Allah and other than his names and attributes is a type of shirk. فَلَمَّا أَتَهُ مَوْثِقَهُمْ, when they gave him their promise, when they swore by Allah like this, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَا نَقُولُ وَكِيلٌ, he said, indeed Allah is sufficient guardian and protector of what we say and do. In other words, Allah is aware of you and what you are going to do. If you do something wrong, I will leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deal with it. Allah is sufficient for a witness. Allah is sufficient for a protector. I don't need anyone else now. You have given me this oath by Allah. Then if you go against this oath, there is Allah to deal with them. Allahu ala ma naqulu wakeel. This also shows you that you are allowed to give someone a second chance, even if he has a bad reputation, if it appears that he has changed. So someone does have a bad reputation in the past, but he's able to prove to you that he has changed. It's allowed to give him a second chance, and there is no blame or sin upon you, just like Ya'qub did. When the truthfulness of his children is proven to him, when it is clearly seen and shown that they are not lying, they really do want some more money and some more food for their family, and they want to take Binyamin because that is what the Aziz has told him. So he gives them a second chance. So this shows you that it is allowed indeed to give someone a second chance in this type of situations.
وَقَالَ يَا بَنِيَ He said, O my children, لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِن بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ Don't enter in from one door. وَدْخُلُوا مِن أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقَ Rather enter in from different doors in the city.
Now you know that throughout history, almost all of the cities in all different cultures and societies, they used to be protected by boundaries and walls, fortresses. Okay, so there would be different gates to the city. Even to recent times in Mecca and Medina, they would have these gates, big, long gates all around the city. You could only enter in the daytime, and then it will be locked up at Maghrib, and not to be opened until the next Fajr. Okay, so there will be a number of cities, or a number of doors to every single city. So he's saying, O my children, don't enter the city from one gate, but rather enter from different gates. Okay?
SubhanAllah, this shows you the love that a father has for his children. Even though these children did something to him that was very, very evil, by taking Yusuf away, still he is a father. And still he wants to protect his children. Still he loves his children. So he says, Oh my children, Ya Baniya, my dear children, don't enter in from different doors. Why not?
Don't enter from one door. Why not?
Because if you enter in from one door, you're going to attract attention. 11 beautiful, strong, young men walking in, strangers in the city, different language, different religion, different dress, all coming in with camels and loads of merchandise from Palestine, is going to attract attention, it's going to attract envy, and therefore you will be achieved with the evil eye, or the ayn as it is known in Arabic. So to protect you from the evil eye, enter in from gates one or two each, so that you're not going to attract attention. If there's like 7 or 8 gates, each one of you split up, one or two people, one or two brothers, for each gate, and then meet up inside in the city. So that you're not going to attract attention to yourself. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Aynu Haqq, that the evil eye is true, and the evil eye is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed to occur. It is by the permission and will of Allah that when a person, low in iman, or upon kufr even, looks at another person with extreme envy, extreme jealousy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes that evilness in his heart to have an effect on his Muslim brother by the will of Allah tab'an, and Allah can avert it from whomever he wishes. So when a person is so depraved and so jealous, there is an evil burning jealousy, this is what causes the evil eye. Instead of saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, masha'Allah, rather he feels a sense of jealousy and envy, once again showing you the evils of jealousy, and that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when one of you sees something that he likes, he should thank Allah, praise Allah. Don't feel jealous for your Muslim brother. Say subhanallah, say alhamdulillah, say masha'Allah. Realize that this person who has been blessed in this manner was blessed because of Allah, not because of him. Your jealousy is in fact an attack upon Allah's will and power. Because Allah chose to give this person something that you don't have. And instead of looking at it from his perspective, why don't you turn to Allah and pray that Allah gives you what he has? Why are you taking your jealousy and your hatred out on him? It is not his will and power. It is the will and power of Allah. So turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and desire something from the one that gave it to the one that you're jealous of. And also thank Allah also that it is possible that had you been given this very thing that you are jealous of, you will not have been able to bear it. You see someone who is driving a very fancy car and a very wealthy person. It is possible that if you had been given this, you would not have been able to stay within the Islamic limits and you would use it for the haram and to attract the haram and to go to the haram. So Allah is saving you but not giving you this. So be accepting and to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be content with what Allah has given you. The point is, the Prophet said, Al-Aynu Haqq, or the evil eye is indeed true. And the way to get rid of the evil eye is طبعاً by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, طبعاً from the one that has been afflicted, by turning to Allah, by reciting Quran, by the ruqya, especially by ruqya, that's one of the primary ways to get rid of the evil eye. And also if we know the person who has affected us, for a fact we know, there is another thing that can also be done with that person, yani perhaps we can talk about that later. As for the one that has this jealousy in his heart, he should seek Allah's refuge. From this jealousy, he should get rid of it, and he should know that he is sinful if he inflicts evil eye upon someone else, because he had that jealousy in his heart and he did not control it. So if the evil eye is afflicted upon someone else, right, he himself should turn to Allah in repentance and remove that feeling from his heart and pray that Allah cures that person from the evil eye, and he should turn to Allah in repentance for the sin that he has done. So he wanted to avert the evil eye from his children. He also says, وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ
this, what I'm telling you to do, and what I am advising you to do, will not benefit you at all in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight. It will not change the will of Allah. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Verily, the command only belongs to Allah. In other words, this is the beauty of tawakkul and the beauty of iman and the beauty of aqeedah. We do everything we can in our power, but we realize that we're not going to outdo Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, yes, I am advising you to enter the gates from different cities, but if Allah, but if Allah has willed something to occur to you, then this will be able to protect you from Allah's will and decree. وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Verily, the command is to Allah. If Allah has willed something will occur, then even if you take this precaution, it will not help you. But we must still take that precaution, because we don't know what the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. Upon him do I trust. And this is tawakkul. You do your job, you do what you can, and you realize that in the end, whatever Allah wills will occur. وَعَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. And upon him, let those who want to do tawakkul, do tawakkul. So don't just rely. He's reminding them, you are taking the means. Yes, you are making sure that you're doing your best not to get into the evil eye. But remember that Allah's will always be over yours and will supersede your own. So if he wills something, this will not protect you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, have tawakkul in him. You also should put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَهُمْ أَبُوهُمْ. When they entered in from where their father commanded them to. So look, they obeyed their father. And this shows that they do have iman, they do have some type of taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though they did what they did, still they obeyed their father. When they finally reached the city after so long of a journey, no one is there to watch them, still they obeyed their father. Allah says, مَا كَانَ يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. That this did not affect them at all in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight. In other words, Allah's will occur. You do whatever you wish, but Allah's will, if He has willed it to occur, it will indeed occur. But that doesn't change the fact that you must do what you can. So there are two sides of the coin to look at it from. From your perspective, you do everything you can. And obviously, Allah's will always be done, even if you try everything in your efforts to do what you can. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it didn't change anything in the sight of Allah. إِلَّا حَاجَةً فِي نَفْسِ يَعْقُوبَ قَضَاهَا. Except a concern that Ya'qub had inside of himself, that they fulfilled it. He was concerned that the evil eye would afflict them if they entered in through one door. When they entered in through different doors, this concern of Ya'qub was relieved. Is that okay, they have now listened to me in this regard, or they have obeyed me, so this concern of his was relieved. And Allah says, وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ. He is of knowledge. So Allah is saying, even though Ya'qub's tactic would not change the decree of Allah, it was a good tactic. وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ. He is of knowledge. He did something based upon knowledge. So we do what we can in order to arrive at the goals. Everything in our power to arrive at the goals and to avert any evil, we do it. So it is not stupidity. So Allah didn't make fun of him. Rather, he said, وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَا. That he was a person of great knowledge because of what we taught him. So this was done based on his knowledge. You take precautions not to make other people envious and jealous of you. You don't have to show everyone your wealth and your status. Try to hide it. You don't have to show things that will cause people to be envious and jealous of you. So this is not stupidity. This is intelligence. Allah is saying, he is ذُعِن, a person of knowledge because of what we taught him. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But rather, most of mankind do not realize the will of Allah. They do not realize the power of Allah. They do not realize that Allah's will be above their will. And they do not realize that taking precautions also is a part of one's iman and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, we will open the floor for questions and then take a few minutes break and then come back and finish up today's lecture, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.